What's up, lovely people? Terrific Tuesday to you. I'm Coy Wire. This is CNN 10 coming to you from Phoenix, Arizona this week. Home to cacti, beautiful skies, Super Bowl 57 this Sunday, and much, much more. Now, behind me is Piestewa Peak, one of the highest points of the Phoenix Mountains, named in honor of Lori Ann Piestewa, a United States Army soldier who became the first known Native American woman to die in combat while serving our nation. We're going to start with the latest news out of Turkey, a country that sits partly in Asia and partly in Europe. A powerful 7.8 magnitude earthquake occurred Monday in Turkey and parts of Syria, which collapsed thousands of buildings, killing more than 3,000 people. It created a new humanitarian disaster in a region already strained by war, a refugee crisis, and deep economic troubles. Turkey hosts 3.6 million Syrian refugees, the most in the world. And governments from around the world have been quick to respond to Turkey's request for international assistance. Videos shared from Turkey and across the border in Syria showed the extent of the damage. We'll keep you updated as the situation continues to unfold. Here's CNN meteorologist Karen McGinnis helping us understand why earthquakes occur so frequently in Turkey and why this one was so consequential.
Now, this is real time. These are some of the aftershocks. And this is an interesting trajectory, just kind of this geometry of where that energy was lying as it just kind of raced along that fault line. And this is one of the most active seismic areas in the entire world. That's because we've got a lot of tectonic plates moving around across this region. We've got a lot of rift zones. And this is illustrative of just how devastating these earthquakes can be. Now, most of these earthquakes are not major earthquakes, but this one, 7.8. It rivals one that occurred in northeastern Turkey, 1939. There were 17,000 fatalities associated with that. It was at the same magnitude. This earthquake was shallow. That means the effects are going to be felt much more severely than if it were much further down into the core of the earth. All right, here are these tectonic plates I was talking about. Essentially, these are constantly shifting. There are always earthquakes somewhere in this region being reported. But this one happened to be a major earthquake and devastating. This is devastating, one that will be in the record books. We'll remember February 2023 for this massive, violent earthquake that took place in south-central Turkey that has interrupted so many people's lives, but not just in Turkey, in Israel, in Jordan, in Syria, where so many displaced people are currently located.
January's U.S. jobs report surprised a lot of economists. The results showed far more jobs added than expected, and the unemployment rate fell to 3.4%, the lowest since May of 1969. With America adding more than 500,000 jobs last month, we're getting more surprising clues about the overall state of the U.S. economy. And it comes as the country grapples with the impact and usefulness of new artificial intelligence platforms. Some worry that one day, sooner than later, a plethora of jobs could be taken away from real humans and given to robots and computers that could presumably do the work faster, cheaper, etc. CNN business and politics correspondent Vanessa Yurkevich sat down with an expert to discuss whether this threat is real or imagined.
Which jobs is AI coming after first?
If you're a middle manager, you're doomed. Any kind of commodity salesperson, report writers and journalists, accountants and bookkeepers, and oddly enough, doctors, who are looking, who specialize in things like drug interactions.
Do you mean out of a job?
No.
Or you mean that part of your job?
That part.
Okay.
That's the relief a lot of Americans are looking for right now.
Will it take my job?
Yes and no. It's not going to replace you. Someone who knows how to use it well is going to take your job, and that's a guarantee.
By 2025, the World Economic Forum predicts that 85 million jobs will be displaced by automation and technology. But it will also create 97 million new roles. We've seen it before in the auto industry.
While the auto worker may be displaced because they are not as good at welding or as painting as the robot, there's probably 35 people that have to be involved in the creation and maintenance of that device that welds better than a person.
And that's what happened at Carbon Robotics. Former auto workers now building an AI laser weeder in Detroit for farms. The laser weeder, still operated by a human but run by AI, can do the work of between 40 to 80 people, says the CEO. filling roles that are hard to find humans for. This music is composed solely by artificial intelligence called Ava. It even has an album you can stream. AI music is more affordable. There's no producer, composer, or artist to pay.
It's taken away opportunity from songwriters, producers, and artists, right? So the people are trying to feed them for their families.
Something similar is happening in the art world, leading artist Kara Ortiz and two others to file a class action lawsuit against three AI art companies for copyright infringement. Ortiz claims they're using her name and art to train the AI.
It's feast and famine for most of us. We go job by job. And what happens when there's a little bit less work to go around?
My father tried to teach me human emotions.
There's a wonderful scene in the movie I, Robot. Detective Spooner hates robots. He says,
can a robot write a symphony? Can a robot turn a canvas into a beautiful masterpiece?
And the robot looks up and he goes,
can you?
Every one of us is not Mozart or Rembrandt or Picasso or choose your super famous, amazing artist or artisan. We're just people. This is not coming to kill us. It's coming to help us.
10-second trivia. Located in Midtown Manhattan, which of these sports facilities is dubbed the world's most famous arena? Churchill Downs, Yankee Stadium, Madison Square Garden, or Silverstone Circuit? The correct answer here is Madison Square Garden, often referred to as the Garden. And up next, most of us have heard of facial recognition technology, the software capable of matching a human face from a digital image or video against real faces in real time, or a database of faces. While the technology is being praised as a way to heighten security and can make things like unlocking your phone quicker and easier, some view it as an invasion of privacy. What do you think? Here's CNN correspondent Omar Jimenez from inside New York City's Madison Square Garden.
You come up on matching somebody on the facial recognition list.
He was recognized on facial recognition cameras, then confronted.
Are you Benjamin Noren?
Yes. This is how lawyer Benjamin Noren from one New York City law firm was greeted by Madison Square Garden staff while trying to attend an event in the fall.
The ticket has been revoked and you are not permitted in the building.
It's because Noren works for a law firm representing ticket brokers in a lawsuit against Madison Square Garden Entertainment. All the roughly 60 lawyers at his firm are also banned until the litigation is resolved. Some experts believe it's a slippery slope, and not just the discretionary power of who else could be flagged in the future, but one method being used to enforce it, even if it is legal.
I have read their privacy policy. They explicitly say that the biometrics they capture from you can be used for any purpose that would benefit their economic interest.
Some don't believe it should be used at all.
And I am terrified of the day where we allow companies to use so many forms of tracking and surveillance that, you know, we end up in the middle of one of the largest cities on the planet without any place we can actually go while keeping our privacy.
And today's story getting a 10 out of 10, we're talking about the world's oldest dog. Again, 2 weeks ago, we brought you Spike, a 23-year-old Chihuahua mix from Ohio who was named the oldest living dog. But along comes Bobby. And Bobby's like, not so fast, my man's best friend. Bobby is a Portuguese Mastiff from Portugal. And at 30 years old, he has now been named the world's oldest living dog by the Guinness World Records. Having lived twice his life expectancy, he's also now considered officially the oldest dog to ever live. The previous record of 29 years and 5 months was set back in the 1930s by an Australian cattle dog named Bluey. Bobby's age has been confirmed by the Veterinary Medical Service and a Portuguese pet database. 30 years ago, that was 1993, when the World Wide Web was made available to the public for the first time. So congrats, Bobby. That's a WWW to you. Also winning Salina South Middle School in Salina, Kansas. Shout out to you today. Thanks for commenting and subscribing on our CNN 10 YouTube channel. Have a fan-cactus day, y'all. From Arizona all week, I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.